All right. Well, we'll give folks a second to get on here, whoever is going to get on here, that is. But I changed my scene a little bit. I'm right behind my office here. And or my office. I mean, I'm right behind my bookshelf here, in front of my bookshelf, that is. Hello, what is this? What is this? I don't know. What is this? How did you get here? Anyway, so as people come trickling in here, hopefully you can hear me okay. Oh, good. Audio and video are great. Yeah, the lighting's better right here. I think I'm going to use this. It like comes down right here. So maybe I'll use this. All right. Let me decline that real quick and shut that off. I'll have to turn my... It never fails, man. Somebody asked me, I don't know who you are. Well, check out the channel. You'll figure out who I am real quick. And hopefully you'll stick around. If not, I understand. Anyway, the books, so many books. Yes. Somebody asked me, have you read all those? No. Have you read a lot of them? Yes. I have read a lot of them. I have. And the beard's growing out good. All right. Getting the furry face going here. And that's a lot of collection for a lot of years, these books are actually. And I had the guys move this out here into the main foyer just because it's easier in the main room here. Yes, Jim, epic beard. Why does everybody keep saying morning? Am I missing something here, man? I keep thinking it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And anyway, but yeah, you know, I'm going to tell you something about this beard, okay? I was going to shave this beard. Okay? And I decided not to shave this beard. And here's the reason why I decided not to shave this beard. Because I was walking around the hospital the other day. Pray for my dad. He had a heart attack. He's doing better, but he had a mild heart attack the other day. Anyway, I'm walking around the hospital, and just walking around town sometimes, I can see this too. But anyway, I'm walking around the hospital. I'm walking around town, and every guy I see, most of them, exactly, Jim, most of them just look like skinny jeaned little queers. I'm not kidding you. And I'm not even being unkind. I'm telling you, they look like gay lizards. That's what they look like. Just, it's unbelievable how effeminate they look. And I know full well, and it's like, and I actually, you know, actually, here's the thing. I think I scare them. Like, I think they see me and then they hear me preach, and I think I just scare them. I really do. I think it just frightens them to no end when they see me. They're like, what's up with this guy? This guy's nuts. And they're like, they're scared. You know, I really do think they're scared, actually. Anyway, so it, message says, oh, the Message Bible. Yeah, we'll get to the Message Bible here. Or falsely so-called. I was at a book sale, and I bought a bunch of these Bible versions for my upcoming conference that I'm doing. And I bought them to see what was in them and to do kind of a comparison. They were $1, so it didn't cost me much. And after I did that, I started reading the Message Bible, and I was like, oh, wow. This has got to be the most satanic and retarded thing I've ever read in my life. And I just want to read it in, like, gangster, white boy ghetto fashion. Because that's what it sounds like. And when I read you some of these verses, you're going to be like, man, he ain't lying. That's exactly what it sounds like. And yeah, it's that crazy. But I think some of these key verses that I want to go over here, I think it's important to. Now, let me tell you why I haven't been around for a week. I went and we picked out a family dog here last weekend. And I would have done another podcast or whatever, YouTube Live, a few days ago, but I was sick with this weird sinus infection thing. I don't know what it was. It was just not feeling good at all. And it was bad. So I took some time off and kind of relaxed a little bit. And I mean, I kept studying and reading. I read a book while I was not feeling well, and, you know, kept praying and doing all that, all the good stuff that the Lord wants us to do. But I just took some time off of everything else. I didn't do any devotions, didn't do any of those things. I don't have the dog yet. We will pick up the dog in about a month after the conference is over and I get back from vacation. And the reason for that is because it's still a puppy and it's not ready yet. But we picked it out. So, anyway, but that guy was the gentleman that I bought the dog from is not an Amish person. He is an old-fashioned German Baptist. Isn't that neat? I didn't know that. And when I got there and started talking to him, I found out that's exactly what he was. And so we had a good conversation. He was the dog is a it's going to be a miniature golden doodle. And the reason I got that dog, number one, they're very smart and they're good with kids. But number two, the reason I got it was because it's smaller and easier to manage in the city. I don't live out in the country. And the dog I had before was just too big. You know, it was just too big. So anyway, so that's why I got that dog. So pretty cool. And it's a puppy now, really small. So I won't, anyway, it's pretty neat dog though. So we'll wait and see what happens with it. And, but first I got a lot of work to do over the next couple weeks here. I've got a conference and a few other things. Yeah, they do love kids. Golden Doodle. I know, you know, for a guy like me, a golden doodle, this just does not seem like it's going to be like, you know, I know, but anyway, so, yeah, so it's interesting to say the least, but I'm looking forward to it. The family will be happy and all that good stuff, and we'll enjoy it. And train it, and they're very smart dogs, so it'll be a lot of fun. This one's more red. It's more reddish, and its hair is straighter than the poodle. Its hair is a lot straighter. So the conference will be streamed from Pastor Hoggard's page, not mine. So you'll have to go to his YouTube channel or his sermon audio channel to be able to see that. Okay. But I'll let you know in advance. I'll shoot up a video on YouTube to let you know where to go and get the information and all that good stuff for the conference. You'll enjoy the conference. It'll be a blessing. We'll be going through a lot of different things. I'm going to be talking about spiritual warfare in the King James Bible versus the false perversions and a few other things like that. So I'm looking forward to that. Pastor Reg Kelly will be there. Looking forward to that. I've never met him before. And it'll be a blessing to meet these guys and all that good stuff. So let's see here what if I got anything else I should talk about. Let's talk about this first article here that I want to go over before we get to our study here. Hey, Brandon, how you doing? Before we get to our study here on the Message Bible, and I'll tell you why in a little bit, kind of why I think it's important to do things like this for those that are out there that'll see this. But let me go to my article here that I want to talk to you about here this afternoon. And let's see. Some transgender teens aren't really transgender. Republished study finds. A controversial academic study that suggested some teenagers self-identify as transgender due to peer and social influence. Controversial conclusion. Well, duh. The study by Lisa Lippman of Brown University was published in the academic journal PLOS One last year, but came under fire from gay and transgender advocates who insisted children and teens identify as transgender because they are born that way and not because of outside influences. Facing criticism, Brown University pulled a press release on the study, and PLOS One launched a review process. PLOS One republished the study in March with more details about Lippman's research. It emphasized the data was collected from parents, but it said the results section is unchanged. Lippman told them she is very pleased with the final product and with the fact that my work has withstood this extensive. Sorry, my article got bombarded here. With that, my work has withstood this extensive peer review process. That process included PLOS One staff, a statistical reviewer, two academic editors, and an external expert reviewer examining her research, she said. Lippman said the study examines a phenomenon whereby teens and young adults who did not exhibit childhood signs of gender issues appeared to suddenly identify as transgender. The new identification seemed to occur in the context of either belonging to a group of friends in which multiple or even all members became transgender identified around the same time, or through immersion into social media, or both. The phenomenon, she said, is called rapid onset gender dysphoria. I became interested in studying gender dysphoria when I observed in my own community an unusual pattern whereby teens from the same friend group began announcing transgender identities on social media, one after another, on a scale that greatly exceeds expected numbers, said Lippman, who is assistant professor of the practice in the Department of Behavioral and Social Sciences at the Brown University School of Public Health. I searched online and found several narratives of parents describing this type of pattern happening with their teens and young adult kids who had no history of gender dysphoria during their childhood. The description of multiple friends from the pre-existing group became transgender identified at the same time were very surprising. One problem, Lippman said, is that the medical professionals rarely acknowledge the possibility that self-identified transgender teens may not be truly transgender. Parents told her clinicals they say were only interested in a fast-track gender affirmation and transition where resistance to even evaluating the child's pre-existing and current mental health issues. I found these stories compelling and heartbreaking, Lippman said. Gender dysphoria has been studied for a long time, and I recognize that the presentation was not consistent with the existing research. I saw that kids, parents, and families were suffering, and I felt that I needed to do something to help them. Okay, so let's talk about that for a second, okay? Let's talk about that for a second, okay? Let's see. Jim Wilford is now moderator. Okay, so here's the thing. Let me say this to you, okay? What happened? Well, the Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. So Satan knows that same principle. So what does Satan do? He gets the kids when they're young, and he teaches them wickedness. Children are influenced by their peers. What does the Bible say? It says evil communication corrupts good manners. Okay? Manners. So then, what that means is this, is if somebody, if one of your children is thrown into a pack of people who are going in some direction or doing something, that means they're more likely to do it too. Why? Because they don't have their parents influencing them. They have children influencing them. That's why that pack mentality, that's why I say homeschool. Why? Because I teach my children values and Christian care. Okay? That's why. I teach them the Word of God. I teach my children the faith once delivered unto the saints. I teach my children what I want them to know. Their mother, more importantly, because she's in the home with them all day long, teaches them what they need to know. Teaches them right and wrong from the scriptures. That's what their mama does. Thank God for their mother, and thank God for you moms out there. I thank God for you. I don't care if everybody drops off this thing and gets mad at me. I thank God for mothers that are staying home with their babies and that are training them and teaching them and guiding them and directing them. What's the difference here that we see in this article? Because they're all hanging out with children and they're in a pack mentality. So what do? They follow what those other kids do, don't they? And they learn from those other kids. So a lot of them, no, they're not that way. They're not. But a friend does it and they feel the pressure. Well, if my friend does it, I want to be accepted. And my friend starts pressuring me and I'm hanging out with them. I'm running around. I'm driving with them. I'm going to movies with them. I'm doing all this stuff with them. So I should be like them. No, you should be yourself. You teach your children individuality. You teach them to follow God and you teach them individuality. You teach your children, man, there is a song that comes to mind right now. I wonder if I can find it. Man, I don't have that book with me. I left it at my house. We're getting a new songbook. It has 1,000 songs in it. It is a great songbook. It has many of the old hymns that are gone that you can't get anymore. And there's 1,000 hymns in there. And Courage, My Boy, it's called. Courage, My Boy. And no, that's not what it's called. It's called something like that. Anyway, but Courage to Stand, he tells his boy to stand. It's a great song. Man, is it a great song. Anyway, and in that song, he's telling those boys, you stand for what's right. No matter if everyone around you does wrong, you do right. And you know what? That's the message. That's the real message, not the message Bible. The real message we need is this, is that our children understand there is right and there is wrong. You do not run with a multitude to do evil. You do not run with those children to do evil. I don't care if every friend in the world does that. You teach your children when they're even if they're playing in the cul-de-sac with their friends or with other people or whatever, or at church with kids at church, wherever it may be, cousins, whoever it is. Look, you need to learn to care for my voice as a parent above everything that your friends think and want, above all that they're doing. And then above that, you're to care for the voice of God in his word, what he says, no matter what the crowd says. No matter what anybody else says, you obey God. You follow God. And see, here's the thing. Once you teach your children that, then they're going to learn. See, listen, here's the thing. Also with children is another thing that people don't realize. One of the other things with children that is such a big deal is this. Children think they want something right away. They think they do. They think they want something like right away. And they have to have it. And one good principle for a child that they want to buy something like that is make them wait a month and tell them they have to wait 30 days for it. And once you have them wait 30 days for it, you know what's going to happen? They're going to forget about it. If they don't, then it is something they more than likely really want. And if it's not sinful, then they should have it. That's fine if they can buy it. But making them wait that time period, it teaches them. How many times have you as an adult, because you didn't learn that, you impulse bought something and it ended up not working out well for you? It ended up working out really bad for you, right? So here's the lesson in that for all of us. Sometimes you think presumptuously like you want something and you really don't, because once you get it, you figure out it wasn't a good idea. Wasn't a good idea. So anyway, that's right, buyer's remorse. And some of these transgender kids, right? What are these kids doing? Some of these kids are figuring out, they're like, you know what? They're like, I'm not really transgender. Like, but listen to me. Those kids make some mistakes. It's just like homosexuals. It's the same exact thing. Kids don't have a filter on them. They learn discernment from their parents, or they don't. But if you teach your children discernment, guess what happens? They know not to jump into things. When a child crosses a line into that homosexual activity or whatever the case may be, in their mind, oh my goodness, I've done this, now I am this. No, you're not. You can repent. And you can get right with God, and you don't have to do that. And you can be saved by the grace of God, and you can be born again, and you can be forgiven of your sins. And God will forgive you and cleanse you of your unrighteousness, and he'll make you whole, and he'll take that and wipe that away, and you're not that. And you don't have to be that. Do you understand that? God can take that away from you. God has the power. To as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even them that believe on his name. Right? As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Nah. Such as were some of you, Paul said, but you've been washed, you've been sanctified. All right? So you don't have, that doesn't have to define your life. Whatever happened to you doesn't have to define your life. No, Christ defines your life. You turn to Christ, he'll wipe away all tears from your eyes. He'll save your soul. He'll give you a home in heaven. He'll change you and make you a new creature. But that's a lesson for adults too. Sometimes when your feelings are all messed up, please listen to me. Sometimes somebody might listen to this, might be depressed, might have discouragement, depression. Look, sometimes your feelings operate the wrong way. Sometimes your feelings turn against you. And sometimes you think that you have that you're defined by those and you have to follow those feelings. You don't have to. You don't have to. Don't follow impulsive feelings. Follow the Lord. No matter how, this ought to be a motto written on all of our hearts and our doors. Do right, no matter how you feel. Just do right. Because there's going to be a time when your feelings betray you completely, inside and out. Depression's going to come, discouragement's going to come. You're going to be cast down and downtrodden. But you listen to me, you just keep doing right. Don't change. Don't change from following the Lord. Don't change from doing right. You keep doing right. That means when somebody gets depressed, you don't hurt yourself. You don't harm yourself. You don't harm others. You keep doing right, no matter how you feel. You have to deny your flesh, and that means deny your feelings and do right. Our rule book is the Word of God. Our life is in Christ. We follow him. We do right, no matter how we feel. Our feelings sometimes are irrelevant to our obedience. Do you understand that? Sometimes your feelings are irrelevant to your obedience. You have to do right. Is the transgender teens thing and my little lesson on that, and I hope you pay attention very, very closely to that. Before I get into this, Maria asks a question, how can I get my two-year-old to know Jesus? Start singing hymns. Start singing hymns. A two-year-old is too young to understand the Bible, okay? But they can understand hymns, and you could start teaching them things about the Word of God. Amen? So you can start singing songs with them, singing hymns, and praising God and showing them your life, and then just wait on the Lord and see what God does with that. All right? So please consider those things when it comes to, you know, the whole transgender issue and people you know. Okay? That's right. The frontal lobes are not fully developed yet. That's right, Andrea. And, you can't... they need time, and we have to teach them and protect them. I had some people say, are you going to shelter your kids? You bet I am. From them wicked devils out there, you bet I am. I don't care what you call it. I certainly am, by God's grace, going to shelter them from it. Bunch of psychopath nuts out there. Don't know if they're boys or girls. Your five-year-old is not a trans. A five-year-old doesn't know what a trans is unless you've gave them wickedness in their mind and perverted their mind. That's the only way they would know that. They wouldn't know that any other way. They know what boys are. They know what girls are. Anything else from that had to be taught to them. Taught to them. It's a bunch of nonsense. From the pit of hell, I might add. Yeah. That person's gone. That person's gone. Okay, well, we're going to get to this message Bible issue here. How many, I don't know if you know how to raise your hand over there, how many of you can raise your hand and tell me that you've seen the message Bible before? Anyone, class, have any of you seen the Message Bible before or heard it? Moon Pie has. Still can't say that name with a straight face, sorry. Let's see if anybody else has heard of the Message Bible. Nope. Hand raised. Frank has. Maria has not. Joe McDonald has. Nope. Hands. Heard a little bit last night. Yes, you did, Becca, because I was reading that last night at church, laughing my head off. Now, I'm going to show you some things here today that I believe are serious errors in the Message Bible. This isn't all of them. In fact, I think I'm going to do segments on this, not maybe in a full-length show or podcast, whatever you want to call it. I used to call these shows, but whatever. I'm so plain, I don't do any thing like that. But anyway, you know what I mean. But I am going to do these funny little spots with this and read some of these. Now, if I read in a funny voice, you have to understand, in my mind, that's how I'm picturing it. You know, that's how I'm picturing it. Okay. So anyway, John chapter 1. We're going to go to John chapter 1. Now, in your King James Bible, which I hope you have handy here, John chapter 1, we're going to read some of these verses here. John chapter 1, verse number 29 is a very familiar verse. Okay? Actually, let me see. Oh, let's see. Oh, no, that's the, yep, here it is. That's right. Here's why I want to read this, okay? In the King James Bible, John 1:29 says, "The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water." Okay, now listen to what the Message Bible says, okay? It says this, "I knew nothing about who he was, only this, that my task had been to get Israel ready to recognize him as the God revealer. That's why I came here baptizing with water, giving you a good bath and scrubbing sins from your life so you can get a fresh start with God." That's baptismal regeneration. That isn't what he said. What are they teaching here? What they're teaching here is baptismal regeneration, that you can, that John was washing their sins away, scrubbing their sins away, scrubbing sins from your life by baptism. No, not at all. Now, that's one error. I want you to understand that. That's baptismal regeneration. Now, here's another error I want you to listen to. John clinched his witness with this. "I watched the Spirit like a dove flying down out of the sky, making himself at home in him." Did you catch that? He's saying that the Holy Spirit wasn't in Jesus before that. Did you catch that? That's heresy. That's a very old heresy, by the way, but it's heresy. "The one on whom you see the Spirit come down and stay, this one will baptize with the Holy Spirit." That's exactly what I saw happen, and I'm telling you, there's no question about it. It is blasphemy. It says the Spirit descended like a dove in the King James Bible. It says here that that's what happened, but he's saying that the Spirit came into him. That's heresy. That's not what the Bible said. Why is that so important? Because it's perverting doctrine. And all these modern perversions do is pervert the deity of Christ. They teach something different. Now, remember I told you that it taught baptismal regeneration? John chapter 3. Jesus said, okay, they do have a subtle attack against God. That's right. Now, in John chapter 3, the King James Bible says, "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said to him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Yes, Jim, it does sound like spooky Baptist we have heard, but I've even got to the best part yet in John chapter 3. Okay, Jesus answered and said unto him, oh, I got that one. "Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit." Now that's the King James Bible. That's the King James Bible. Now the Message Bible says this. Jesus said, "You're absolutely right. Take it from me. Unless a person is born from above, it's not possible to see what I'm pointing to God's kingdom." Now, Jesus said born again. How can anyone, said Nicodemus, be born who has already been born and grown up? You can't re-enter your mother's womb and be born again. What are you saying with this born from above talk? Jesus said, you're not listening. Let me say it again. Unless a person submits to this original creation, the wind hovering over the waters creation, the invisible moving the visible, a baptism into a new life. Uh-oh. A baptism into a new life. Jesus is not talking about water baptism. He talks about a water birth. He talks about a water birth, and then he talks about being born of the Spirit of God. This is talking about a baptism. A baptism in a new life. It's not possible to enter God's kingdom. When you look at a baby, it's just that, a body you can look at and touch. But the person who takes shape within it is formed by something you can't see and touch, the Spirit, and becomes a living spirit. So don't be so surprised when I tell you that you have to be born from above, out of this world, so to speak. You know well enough how the wind blows this way and that. You hear it rustling through the trees, but you have no idea where it comes from or where it's headed next. That's the way it is with everyone born from above by the wind of God, the Spirit of God. Well, does that sound like the Bible? Nope. It sure doesn't. Now, you ready for another heresy? Here's another heresy. I'm still going. I'm not done yet. Here's another heresy. In John chapter 3, verse number 13. Now, in John 3:13, Jesus said, and no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Okay. That's what the King James Bible says. It's talking about no man has ascended up to heaven. All right. Here's what the Message Bible says. No one has ever gone up into the presence of God except the one who came down from that presence, the Son of Man, in the same way that Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert so people could have something to see and then believe. It's necessary for the Son of Man to be lifted up, and everyone who looks up to him, trusting and expectant, will gain a real life, eternal life. This says no one ever has ever gone up into the presence of God. That's not true either. But here's what the NIV says. No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven. The Son of Man must be lifted up. Okay. I want you to turn your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 2, verse number 11. Okay? 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 11. Says here, and it came to pass as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. See that? The NIV and the Message Bible state that no one went there. That's not true. That's not true. See that? They did go to heaven. See why a word-for-word translation matters? See why this conceptual translation is stupid? It's not, it doesn't even say the same thing. It says something completely different than what the Bible says. All right, let's keep going here. Let's try John 15 and 16. I thought this was interesting. He said this, I'm telling you these things while I'm still living with you. The friend, capitalized, the friend. The friend, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send at my request, will make everything plain to you. He'll remind you of all the things I have told you. I'm leaving you well and whole. That's my parting gift to you. Peace I don't leave you the way you're used to being left, feeling abandoned, bereaved. So don't be upset. Don't be distraught. You've heard me tell you I'm going away, and I'm coming back. If you loved me, you'd be glad that I'm on my way to the Father, because the Father is the goal and purpose of my life. That isn't what the Bible says. He's called the Comforter, to comfort you. Interesting, isn't it? By the way, I forgot John 3:16. This is an important one. Let me go back here. John 3:16. John 3:16. I forgot about that one. Sorry. Here it is. We know what the Bible says. We know John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. But have everlasting life. Let me see here. I got it. I'm sure Jim will get that. Somebody weird spam the page. Wowzers. John 3:16. Turn your Bibles to John 3:16. We'll get it word for word in the King James Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Yeah, I always get weirdos on here. I'm sorry. They just like to spam me. I have a lot of people that hate my guts. Just happens. Here's what the Message Bible says. No one has ever gone up into the presence of God. Whoops, I've got that one already. This is how much God loved the world, that he gave his Son, his one and only Son. Is that what the King James Bible says? No. It says, to as many as received unto them gave he power to become the sons of God, even them that believe on his name. It also says that we are the sons of God, right? Wow. It says we are the sons of God. Right? Begotten means from the Father. That's why it says begotten. Here it says, this is how much God loved the world. He gave his Son, his one and only Son, and this is why. So that no one need to be destroyed. By believing in him, anyone can have a whole and lasting life. The Bible says everlasting life, a whole and lasting life. Well, how long is that? How long is a whole and lasting life? Anybody know? I don't know. For some people, it's 70 years. For some people, it's 80. For some people, it might be 40. God didn't go to all the trouble of sending his Son merely to point an accusing finger, telling the world how bad it was. He came to help, to put the world right again. Anyone who trusts in him is acquitted. Anyone who refuses to trust in him has long since been under the death sentence without knowing it. And why? Because of that person's failure to believe in the one-of-a-kind Son of God when introduced to him. Wow. Yeah. So anyway, that's John 3:16. You know, What a perversion of the truth, right? I want you to turn to Acts 2:38. Remember I showed you that they're preaching baptismal regeneration with this? Well, I'm going to show you Acts 2:38 in the Message Bible. Let's see here. All right, Acts 2:38 in the King James Bible. Let's look at that. This is important. Here's where they're preaching a false gospel. All right? Acts 2:38 in the King James Bible says this. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Here is what the Message Bible says. Peter said, change your life. Turn to God and be baptized, each one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so your sins are forgiven. Receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is targeted to you and your children, but also to all that are far away. Okay. First of all, you don't look at lost sinners and tell them to change their life. If you preach that, that's heresy. People accuse us that believe in repentance that, oh, you're preaching works. No, that's works. What I preach is repentance is a change of mind that leads to a change of action with sorrow in the heart. All right? What does that mean? The change of action is the fruit of repentance after you are saved. Not before you are saved. You can't change. I can't look at people and tell them to change. I can't look at a sinner and tell them to change. They don't have the power to change. No man alive has the power to change. Can a leper change his spots? No. And I can't tell a sinner to change. They can't change. They don't have the power to change. The Bible says to repent. That's to turn, to have a change of mind that leads to a change of action with sorrow in the heart. The fruit of that repentance is your actions change. But that is the fruit. It's not the root. The root is sorrow, is turning, is Christ giving you, granting you that repentance. The fruit of that will be a changed life. But you don't, this has the cart before the horse. Peter said, change your life. No, he didn't. Peter said, repent. That is not an accurate translation. That is works gospel. That's right. That's a Jesse Morell works gospel. It's wicked. Telling people to change their life and to stop sinning is not the gospel. It's not repentance. Repentance is a change of mind that leads to a change of action with sorrow in the heart. It leads to the change of action. It is not the change of action. The change of action is produced. For godly sorrow worketh repentance, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of this world worketh death. Okay? So if anybody ever tells you Pastor Cooley believes that you have to change before you're saved, well, that's a dirty, rotten lie. That's what the Message Bible teaches. I don't believe you can change. Only the Holy Ghost can change you. Only God can change you. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. In Christ, you will be new. Outside of Christ, you'll be the same old turd you've always have been. And that's the truth. Or if you prefer, the same old menstruous rag you always were. For you Pharisees out there that'll get upset because I use the word turd. I'll use something more vile. Meanness. Okay? That'll make you feel better. Paul said he counted it all but dung that he would win Christ, right? Okay. So we see there that that Acts 2:38, that's heresy that they have in the Message Bible. That's not the gospel. You can't look at men and tell them, change your life. That's right. That's right. Amen and amen. All right, let's keep going here. Let me see what I got here for you. Oh, excuse me. You know, I got to read you something because this just sounds funny. Hang on a second. You know how Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I unto you in the name of Jesus Christ, right? Well, here's what it says in the Message Bible. Peter said, I don't have a nickel to my name. Sorry. Oh, that's funny. Every time I hear that, it's funny. Anyway. All right. So let me move on here. Let me move on to Colossians chapter 1. I don't have a nickel to my name. Amen. Yes, use the Pure Bible Search. I use that every day in my studies. The purebiblewordsearch.com. All right, let's see. Let me move on to Colossians chapter 1 here. Get to the last one here. And this is all I'm going to do for today. Wow, that's weird. Sorry, I just caught something that was really strange on here. Wow. Anyway, let me get to Colossians. Sorry, I'll talk about that some other time. Oh, by the way, Ephesians 2:8-9 in the Message Bible, saving is all his, he says, saving is all his idea and all his work. All we do is trust him enough to let him do it. It's God's gift from start to finish. We don't play the major role. You don't play any role. Right? You don't play any role. What do you mean you don't play the major role? You don't play any role. If we did, we'd probably go around bragging that we'd done the whole thing. No, we neither make nor save ourselves. God does both the making and the saving. He creates each of us by Christ Jesus to join him in the work he does. And the good work he has gotten ready for us to do. Work we had better be doing. That doesn't sound like for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. That doesn't sound like that at all. Not at all does it sound like that. Anyway. We don't work to be saved. There ain't enough work you could do to be saved. There ain't one work you could do in your whole life to be saved. Not one stinking thing. We are his workmanship. All right. Here's what they say in Colossians 1, verse number 15. You know, the Bible says, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are on earth, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him, and he's before all things, and by him all things consist. That's what the King James Bible says. Okay? It says here, we look at this sun and see the God who cannot be seen. We look at this sun and see God's original purpose in everything created. For everything, absolutely everything, above and below, visible and invisible, rank after rank of angels, everything got started in him and finds its purpose in him. He was there before any of it came into existence and holds it all together right up to this moment. Well, that's not what it says. It says all things were created by him and for him, and he's before all things, and by him all things consist. Well, God uses local churches to build them. God's way is the local New Testament church. Garrett Smith, whatever you're, whoever you are, that is God's way. God instituted the local church. Absolutely. So, anyway, so these are the Message Bible blunders here that I'll go over with you today. We'll probably go over more another day, I'm sure, that a church is for all the people to gather. A church is an ordered, called-out assembly. There are leaders in the church. There is an organization to the church. There is an order that they are to follow. There are qualifications for the office of a bishop. And guess what? The Bible says, remember them that have the rule over you, for they watch for your soul, as they that must give an account. It's a local, literal assembly, not a universal, invisible mess out there. Anyway, so let me look at some of these things over here. I haven't seen too many people over here. Yep. Peter Evans talks about Steven Anderson's hate. Yes, he hates homosexuals. He hates Barack Obama. He hates just about everybody. So, let's see. Jason Sakota is in Australia. All right, good to have you. Let's see who else is on here. Jim Wilford, I know him. Maria, good to have you on here. Andrea, Cragen. Let's see, Jessica, Moonpie, Michael. Joe McDonald, MC, Lewis Lord, let's see, Samuel Hall, Michael A. Yes, Jessica, the Message Bible does sound like a book of fairy tales, that's for sure. Yeah, I don't know what was up with the fake Muslim people spamming me. Nice to meet you too, Garrett. Hope you have a good day. Let's see. CJPWI. Good to have you on here. My first live, Stevie Ayana. Okay, good. How'd you hear about us, Stevie? Do you have free King James Bibles in French to give me, OPBC? I'm stuck with a Schofield. No, I'm sorry. I don't have any French Bibles. I don't have any French Bibles. I wouldn't know where to get a French Bible. Not sure about that one. Yeah, the fake Muslim guy was probably a I-N-E. Stevie I-N-E. Okay? Whatever that means. Yeah, I guess Garrett Smith, I guess you could get one at a French hotel somewhere. I suppose you probably could get a Gideon's Bible in there if they still have a King James Bible. Well, of course, I don't know what version they have over there, I guess. Pierce Kimmerly, haha, keep her going, Captain. I don't know who Pierce is. Pierce Kimmerly, maybe you've listened to us before. Michael A. All right. Man, I got a lot of other people that are usually on here. I don't see them on here. Maybe I made them all mad, or they probably didn't get the notification. I never take for granted I don't make people mad, though. I usually think I do anyway. Hey, Pastor. Hey, Illy. I'm here from Pastor Mike. I enjoy you too, Pastor Cooley. Oh, good. Yeah, well, Pastor Mike. I'll be down there soon. Peter Evans, good to... Where are you from, Peter? Where are you at? wonder where you are. I forgot. I think you're overseas, but I can't remember. Okay, Carly's there. She's not mad. She's just quiet. Okay, Carly. All right. Peter Evans, England. Hey, who knows? I might go to England in 2020. Maybe. We'll see. I wouldn't mind going. I would not mind going at all. I just don't want to get stuck over there. Then I'll have to eat like tea and crumpets. Authorized Mike is back. Anyway, will you street preach in England? I'd love to street preach in England. I don't know if they'll stick me in jail or not, but I might try. I might try to street preach in England. We'll see how it goes. Are you in England too? Speaker. Oh, they have a speaker corner. They will ban you from the country. You should come to Quebec, preach in French. I can't preach in French, man. I can't even speak English. What are you talking about? I don't talk much on the chat, but I listen as much as I can, usually on YouTube. I found an awesome message you did on repentance. It has done so much good for my walk. Thank you for... Hey, praise the Lord, Pierce. That's wonderful. I'm glad you heard that. That truly is a blessing to hear. Stevie, you sent me a few emails last week. Oh, okay. I'll look and see if I didn't respond to you. I'll check it out and see what you sent me there. England has changed. Well, yeah, I mean, I'm not popular like Steven Anderson. I mean, I don't want to kill anybody, so they might just not have a problem with me. I haven't prayed for everybody to die or anything, so we'll have to find a way to video call. Have you get what's up? Any advice on how to teach the gospel to young children? Yes, I think the best way to teach the gospel to young children is to teach them in like a catechism format, probably. So what I mean by that is question and answers concerning the scriptures and read the Bible to them. Not like Roman Catholicism does it, but like Christians. Okay. I'm not mad at you. Okay, good. Oh, well, I mean, I would go there. I would go to England. Yeah. I'd be there on a Baptist history tour. So I don't know how much time I'd have. You know. I don't know how much time I'd have over there, but we could see. Never know what the Lord will do. I've always wanted to go to England, though. Do people still drink tea and eat crumpets? I'm just curious. Do they do that still? You're in England, too? Yeah, I heard about that, Authorized Mike. I did. I heard about that. That I forget what it's called, but I've heard of that before. I've never done that. We love a cup of tea. Well, I drink coffee, so I don't... I mean, do you have espresso over there?
what I'm wondering. T would be a little weak for me, I think. I think I'd be like... I'll be like Alex Jones. Why don't you put on your Jolly Rogers?
Look, if I went there and I just... If I went there and I just started yelling out, you're not getting our guns, Pierce! And, 1776, Pierce, if you think you're taking our guns! Oh, man, would I have fun with that, man. Oh, that would be funny. I wouldn't do that, though. I wouldn't. I'm just kidding. I would. Oh, nobody's crazier than Alex Jones. We have no freedom of speech in the UK. I know, that's what I'm saying. So what are they going to do to me if I come over there and preach? You're going to put me in jail. When I think of England, I think of Crowley, Seville, and the Hellfire Caves. Well, yeah, that's true. But when I think of England, I think of Charles Spurgeon. I think of Andrew Fuller. I think of, let's see, who else? George Mueller? Let's see. A bunch of other guys. When I think of England. Mm-hmm. You got to read more. You got to read more good, positive things. Can't be reading all that Illuminati junk all the time. It just messes with your brain. Have you heard of Pastor Jack Mormon? Yes, I have. Yep, I have. I have a book by him, I think. What do you think of John MacArthur and James White? Do I have to answer that? I'm just kidding. I'll answer it. Okay. Here's what I think of John MacArthur. Number one. I think that he is wrong on his stance on the blood. And I read a letter that he wrote after that that was biblically correct. But his stance on it that I just heard him say a couple years ago was not correct. So I think he's wrong about the blood doctrine. I think he's wrong about taking the mark of the beast. And that it's okay to take the mark of the beast. And I think that for those reasons, I stay away from men like that because there's too many doctrinal strong issues there. Those two issues, the blood and the mark, dangerous. Now, James White, what do I think about him? What do I speculate about him or what do I think about him? Because those are kind of two different things, sort of. Let me talk about speculate. I speculate that he's a Jesuit. That's my speculation, that he's a Jesuit. Who cares what I think anyway, right? I think he's a Jesuit. What do I think about... And I think he hates the King James Bible. And he's getting tattoos, and he's going to a beer and tattoo church. But I'm sorry, nothing is going to make James White look cool. Nothing. No matter how many tattoos he gets, no matter any of those things. It's not going to make him look cool. But whatever. I digress. What do I think about Charles Stanley? Not much. If I'm not mistaken, he's the guy that Charles Stanley is the dude that the Lord's Supper.
actually. I could be wrong, but I think he is. Yeah. Flat Stanley is what I refer to him as. Pastor Mike did a PMO. Flat Stanley. Oh, is that what he calls him? That's funny. Anyway, that's what I think of him. Can the devil bless a sinner's life? Yes. But see, we would call it a curse. They would call it a blessing. Because with the blessings of the Lord, there's no cometh no sorrow. But when Satan gives somebody something, it's not a blessing, it's a curse. See the difference? He'll give them whatever they want to distract them from the Word of God. What do you think about Bethel and Bill and Benny Johnson? I don't know those people. But if that's... Bill Johnson. Yeah, those are the heretics down in like Kansas City, aren't they? The Kansas City heretics. I don't know. Anyway, I can't think. I don't know about a lot of those people. I haven't really looked into a lot of them. I know they're a bunch of grave sucking weirdos, but all demonic stuff. Can the devil give a Christian something their life for the same reason as a sinner? Can the devil give a Christian something their life? I don't know. I don't understand the question you're asking. You'll have to rephrase that so it makes sense. It doesn't make sense, the question you asked. I don't understand it. At least to me, it doesn't. So you have to be a little more specific. Some cancer patients' families want you to donate for treatment. Can you donate them, please? I'm just passing the message from the patient. I don't even know who you are. I have no idea. Why would they want me to donate? They don't even know me. I don't know who they are either. Yes, the devil can give something to a Christian to distract him if God allows him to. Of course he can. If God lets him. But God will use it to chasten that Christian. He'll use it to chasten him. And he'll chasten him hard. Yep, a good paying job that takes up all their time. Many other things that keeps them away from the house of the Lord, the house of God. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Happens a lot. I've seen people do it. I've watched them walk right out the door chasing money down the road. Definitely. Absolutely. Okay, well, if there's nothing else, I'll go ahead and get off here. I don't see anybody asking any other questions. Idol worship. Let's see. Yep, I don't see anybody asking any other questions here, really. So, yep. Have a good day. Have a good evening. Let's see. I don't see anybody else on here. Not worth it. Right. The love of money is the root of all evil. That's right. Read the book of Job. No, I'm not convinced that AOC is a tranny. I'm not a part of the everybody's a tranny club, Levi. I don't believe that. I think it's a distraction. It's kind of designed to make everybody look stupid, I think. But personally, that's my viewpoint on it. You know, I think a lot of people just put those things up there to make everybody look kind of dumb. But, look, you know, I did that video last week. And I had some people get upset with me.
You know, I had some people get upset with me about the video I did about conspiramaniacs that just completely lose their mind. Everything's occultic. Every time you move your hand, every time somebody does something, yeah, everybody's a tranny on the flat earth. Just all of it. And I just get sick of it. It's just, it makes us look so foolish. And nobody believes anything you say when you do that stuff. They just get kind of crazy. That's right. Anything that takes the place of God is idol worship. That's right. Absolutely. Let's see. Can a Christian open themselves up to possession? No, but they can open themselves up. If they're sealed with the Holy Ghost, then Satan cannot infest them. What he can do, though, is he can oppress them. All right. He can oppress them. We see nowhere in the Bible where born again believers that had the Holy Spirit of God inside of them were possessed by devils that needed to be cast out. That's called charismatic spooky land. Yes, Satan has access to your mind. Absolutely, he can. He could shoot. That's why the Bible says, what do you think the fiery darts of the wicked one are? You're to have the shield of faith. Okay, Ephesians chapter 6. Let's go there. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6. Why do you need the helmet of salvation? Okay, why do you need it? Ephesians chapter 6. All right. Oops, that's 5. I wonder I couldn't find it. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Why? What's he doing to you? He's attacking you. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Well, what do we wrestle against? Oh, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Let's stop for a second. What does that mean? It means you're wrestling against the spirit world. You're not wrestling against flesh and blood. He just said that. But is a contrast. But we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, right? Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Why do we need a shield of faith? Do you know what the shield was back in Roman times? The shield was not like Captain America's shield. When you see Captain America's shield, what was it? It was a body-length shield that covered the entire body. That's what it covered. And that's what you needed was the shield. And Paul knew that because he was strapped to the side of Roman soldiers. And he examined the entire body of Roman soldiers and figured out exactly what they needed and how it was likened to the same thing. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Okay? So you need to block the fiery darts of the wicked one, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Right? No, you need the armor of God. It's right here. It's the word of God. It tells you what the armor is. And there's more than just in Ephesians, by the way. There's more armor than just there. There's more. How do you do that if you get a crazy thought? You don't dwell on it. You repent of it, and you focus on something else, which is right. How did Jesus do it? Matthew chapter 4. Look how Jesus did it in Matthew chapter 4. He tells you how he did it. Just how he did. Okay, that guy's gone. He's annoying me. Gone. There we go. Okay, so that's how you do it. You cast it down. You don't dwell on it. You don't think about it. You don't continue to dwell on it. You fight it. Well, V Power, your question is a good question. What do you do? Here's what you do. Okay? You cast it down in the name of Jesus Christ. That's what you do. Even in your dream. Right. So you got to fill your mind up with other things. You actively cast down those other things. Okay? That's what God wants you to do. That's what he told you to do. Anyway, okay, well, Matthew chapter 4. That's what Jesus did. Matthew chapter 4. Amen. All right, I got to go. I got to get home. I got a busy day ahead of me. I got to get going. So, our busy night. So, we'll talk to you all later and hope you have a good day and hope you have a good evening. Well, the enemy does have that much access, Carl, to a Christian's mind. You better believe it does, or he does. And so do devils, too. So anyway, all right, we'll talk to you later.